तपोहम ऋषयो नवये प्रजेशः स्थानेता धर्मामका मन्व अमरा वनीशन अबाना निशः अन्ते त्वि अधर्मा हरमन्यु वशा शूरद्या माया विभूताय इमा पुरुषक्ति बाजः Sarge, in the beginning of the creation, tapaha, penance, aham, myself, rishayaha, sages, nava, nine, ye prajeshaha, those who would generate, stane, in the middle while maintaining the creation. Atta, certainly. Dharma, religion. Makha, Lord Vishnu. Manu, the father of mankind. Amara, the demigods deputed to control the affairs of maintenance. Avanishaha and the kings of different planets. Ante, at the end, two, but Adharma, irreligion. Hara, Lord Shiva. Manyuvasa, subjected to anger. Ashura Adya, Atheists, the enemies of the devotees. Maya, energy. Vibhutayaha, powerful representatives. Imaha, all of them. Purushakti Bajaha, of the Supreme Powerful Lord. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. At the beginning of creation, there are penance, myself, Brahma, and the Prajapatis, the great sages who generate. Then, during the maintenance of the creation, there are Lord Vishnu, the demigods with controlling powers, and the kings of different planets. But at the end, there is irreligion. And then Lord Shiva and the atheists full of anger, etc. All of them are different representative manifestations of the energy of the Supreme Power, the Lord. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The material world is created by the energy of the Lord, which is manifested in the beginning of the creation by the penance of Brahmaji, the first living being in the creation. And then there are the nine Prajapatis, known as great sages. In the stage when the creation is maintained, there are devotional service to Lord Vishnu or factual religion, the different demigods and the kings of different planets who maintain the world. At last, when the creation is preparing to wind up, there is first the principle of irreligion, then Lord Shiva along with the atheists, full of anger. But all of them are but different manifestations of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, Brahma, Vishnu and Mahadev, Lord Shiva, are different incarnations of the different modes of material nature. Vishnu is the Lord of the mode of goodness. Brahma is the Lord of the mode of passion, and Shiva is the Lord of the mode of ignorance. Ultimately, the material creation is but a temporary manifestation meant to give the chance of liberation to the conditioned souls who are entrapped in the material world. And one who develops the mode of goodness under the protection of Lord Vishnu, has the greatest chance of being liberated by following the Vaishnava principles and thus being promoted to the kingdom of God, no more to return to this miserable material world. Om Agyana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshurul Mitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Srivasade Gaura Bhakta Vranda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Thank you for being here. We'll read the translation again. At the beginning of creation, there are Penance, myself, Brahma, and the Prajapatis, the great sages who generate. Then during the maintenance of the creation, there are Lord Vishnu, the demigods with controlling powers, and the kings of different planets. But the end, there is irreligion, and then Lord Shiva and the atheists full of anger, etc. All of them are different representative manifestations of the energy of the Supreme Lord, of the Supreme Power, the Lord. So Prabhupada starts his purport by saying, the material world is created by the energy of the Lord. So we know we got the spiritual world, we got the material world. Okay, and the Lord, he has got his internal energy, he's got his external energy. So the material world is a creation of his external energy, and which is manifested in the beginning of the creation by the penance of Brahmaji. What does that mean? Manifested in the beginning of the creation by the penance of Brahmaji, the first living being in the creation. See, Lord Brahma, as we know, was born on the lotus flower of Lord Vishnu. Now, at that time when he was born, sitting on the lotus flower, he didn't know his origin. It was all dark. What to do? He was trying to go up, nothing to hold on to go up. Okay, then he got off his lotus flower, then of course he came down the stem. As he came down the stem, the first thing he heard, the Garbhodakaya ocean waves were hitting the stem. He heard two syllables, ta, pa, ta, pa. So when that was continuously happening, the sound was like a joint, ta, pa, ta, pa, ta, pa, meaning penance or austerity. So he went back to his lotus flower, sat on it, and he then undertook austerity of meditation for 1,000 celestial years. Meditated, and then eventually he got the enlightenment from the Lord, where he then knew how to start the secondary creation. Then in the secondary creation, Prabhupada goes on to say, then there are the 9 Prajapatis known as great sages. Prajapatis, as we know, are the generators of progeny to populate the earth, the world, or the universe. So this Prajapati, starting with Lord Brahma himself, then we move on to, so there are many other Prajapatis, Swayambhu Manu, Kardama Muni, Marichi, and many others. So their job was to actually populate the universe with the living entities. Then when that was all set up, it was the time of Satya Yuga, the time of the golden age, where Prabhupada says here, it was the time of factual religion. That was when religion was in its true pure form, where Krishna, God, was in the center and everybody was actually serving God, knowing that he was in the center. There was devotional service and there was total focus on serving the Lord with unalloyed loving. Then Prabhupada goes on to say also there were the different demigods and the kings of different planets who maintained the world. So it goes to show we got kings of different planets who maintained the world. So there was this intergalactic ruling where there were various kings, not just ruling different countries as we know on planet Earth today, And even that they can't rule properly. We have got at that time the age, the golden age, Satyayuga, where they were actually kings who were ruling planets. Like Mahabharat, where does that come from? King Bharat. He was ruling Bharat Varsha. Okay, so there were kings who were so powerful, and given that they were putting God in center, it was a God-centered leadership, the whole population was serving God, and there was unity, harmony to actually have that kind of large domain and ruling as planets. And then Prabhupada goes on to say, at last, when the creation is preparing to wind up, there is first the principle of irreligion. So, of course, over time, from the golden years, Satya Yuga, it comes down to Trita Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, and now it's the advent of Kali Yuga, where there's degradation of religion, piety, God-centered focus in leadership. And as all this is crumbling, there is irreligion setting in. And when irreligion sets in, here Prabhupada goes on to say, then Lord Shiva, along with the atheists, full of anger, they come in. They take control. Full of anger. Anger, I heard one of the lectures from my spiritual master where he said, anger is actually the younger brother of desire. When desire is not fulfilled, what happens? People get angry. Right? And that's what's happening around us today in the world at large. Okay? People with this I and mine mentality of trying to lord over material nature, just going after all these material desires. And when all these material desires are unfulfilled, frustration comes in, which leads to anger. And then when anger comes in, all this mode of ignorance take over, and the lord of the mode of ignorance, Lord Shiva, takes over. How? At the end, what does he do? He does the famous dance of destruction. Right? For civilization, for cosmic manifestation to happen again. Then, Prabhupada goes on to say, but all of them are but different manifestations of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, Brahma, Vishnu, and Mahadev, Lord Shiva, are different incarnations of the different modes of material nature. This topic, this chapter, is all about scheduled incarnations. So here, Prabhupada is saying, Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, Lord Shiva, they are all simply different manifestations or different representatives of or different incarnations of the different modes of material nature. Vishnu is the Lord of the mode of goodness. Brahma is the Lord of the mode of passion. And Shiva is the Lord of the mode of ignorance. Ultimately, the material creation is but a temporary manifestation meant to give the chance of liberation to the conditioned souls. Ultimately, the material creation is just a temporary manifestation. We know it's just temporary. But even though we know, we're just trying to make all our various plans, trying to just make it permanent for us in the mode of ignorance, really. Then here's the punchline of this whole purport. Prabhupada says, so, temporary manifestation meant to give the chance of liberation to the conditioned souls who are entrapped in the material world. And one, here's a punchline, and one who develops the mode of goodness under the protection of Lord Vishnu has the greatest chance of being liberated by following the Vaishnava principles and thus being promoted to the kingdom of God. Mode of goodness. Okay. So we know we've got all these different modes which are controlling us. Mode of goodness, mode of passion, mode of ignorance. And we go through life every day controlled under the influence of all these modes. And the world today, as we can see around us, is not getting any better. Okay, it is definitely not. Okay, as we spoke earlier, there were different planets who were under like single kings, but today we have got so many leaders, and every day there's a new country being born, there's some country being at war with another, or, and even the latest one, Russia and Ukraine. See what's happening. Ignorance. There's no God-centeredness. Okay, and as I said earlier, anger grows. Why? Because simply of ignorance. Material desires being unfulfilled. But we are very, very fortunate in the sense that due to the Lord's causeless mercy, somehow in all this mayhem, we have got the good fortune of coming to Krishna consciousness. Coming to Krishna consciousness means we begin a journey of self-realization. A journey of self-realization where we acknowledge we are entrapped in this material world. Like what Prabhupada says, it's conditioned souls who are entrapped in the material world. Now, we are spirit souls. And we are actually having this marginal potency where we have got this capability to actually be in the spirit world or in the material world. Of course, in the spiritual world, it's all spiritual energy. Material world, it's all material energy. And we are there in the border. We have got a choice which way we want to go. We have made this foolish decision to leave that spiritual energy and land up here in this material world. So we are entrapped. Now, being spiritual energies, we have a choice. We have a choice to take up Krishna consciousness and actually go back to Godhead. Prabhupada says in one of his lectures where he's actually explaining what the Hare Krishna mantra means, he says, spiritual energy is incompatible with material energy. That's why our position here, given that we are spiritual souls, we are of spiritual energy, we stuck in this material world, in the material energy, it's incompatible. It's like oil and water, it doesn't mix. And as time goes by, if we continue to remain in this material energy environment, we weaken. Maya becomes stronger. Take the example of, in the 8th canto, we got the example of Gajendra. Gajendra, what happened? He was the king of the elephants, right? He went to this lake and got caught by this crocodile. Okay? Crocodile is a water animal. Elephant is a land animal. And the elephant was stuck in water, an environment where he is actually not suited for. So in the crocodile was in its element. It was in its environment. So this battle between Gajendra and the crocodile went on for 1,000 years. And over these 1,000 years, Gajendra was weakening. It was not his environment. Crocodile was becoming stronger. Eventually, knowing that there was no hope, what did Gajendra do? Surrendered. He surrendered to the Lord. Okay? The moment he surrendered to the Lord then gave him protection, liberated him. Similarly, our situation is like that. Okay, as I said, we are in this material energy environment. Okay, we are spirit souls. It is not our conducive environment to be. We are struggling. So as we are struggling with this incompatibility, the only way to get solace or to get out of it is surrender. Only when we acknowledge that we are helpless, when we are acknowledging that we need help, that we need the Lord's mercy, only then our journey back to Godhead begins. But this surrender, before we can surrender, how can we simply surrender without cultivating faith? There has to be faith. Shraddha. Only when we have faith, a strong belief in something or someone, then we can develop surrender, which then can develop these modes of goodness that we need to have to come under the protection of the Lord. And if we talk about faith, reading the Bhagavatam is a true test of faith. Okay, for people who are caught up in this material world, you go and tell them, oh, I just read a story where there's this elephant and crocodile, they were fighting for 1,000 years. The guy will be laughed at. We tell them, okay, I read about this pastime where there's this person called Lord Brahma sitting on a lotus flower and he was there 1,000 years meditating, 1,000 celestial years. They'll be thinking, where are you from? Then we hear about, when we in the Bhagavatam, we hear about there is a sea, there are various oceans, sea of sugarcane juice, sea of milk. But to the materialist, they'll be thinking, I know of only one sea, which is a salty sea out there, so there's no other sea. So what can the tiny brain actually understand? It is so myopic to what it sees around it. Faith means actually going out of our comfort zone to actually believe something that is authorized. Srimad Bhagavatam is Amala Purana, uncontaminated. It's coming from Lord Krishna himself. In fact, in the chapter so far, we've been talking about scheduled incarnations where up to day before yesterday, we talked about various incarnations which had appeared in the past. Then yesterday, the speaker, Jagannath Ram Prabhu, he talked about an incarnation who will appear in the future, Kalki, Lord Kalki, at the end of Kali Yuga. Okay? Because his function, his specific function at that time is to get rid of all the demonic personalities. So, this chapter covers the past, scheduled incarnations, and it has talked about the future scheduled incarnation. What about the present? Who is the present incarnation? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And also, the Bhagavatam is a direct incarnation of the transcendental sound of God, Lord Krishna. It came down from Krishna to Brahmadev. From Brahma, it came down to his son, who? Narad. And from Narad, it came down to Vyasadev. From Vyasadev, came down to Shukadev. And from Shukadev Goswami, came down to Suta Goswami. It was transcendental sound. But then in this age of Kali, we got no power of remembrance. We forget. So Krishna has been so merciful to like even know that and say, you guys are just going down the drain, so I'll make it even easy for you. I'll put this in a book form, literary incarnation. Through the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we have got Srimad Bhagavatam in its literary incarnation form. So, developing faith means we actually got to actually accept it that this is authorized knowledge, knowledge of the absolute, which is coming down the parampara, disciplic succession. Materialists, they are trying to actually gain knowledge through an ascending process, which is through trial and error, through speculation, through experiments, and even that they can't get it right. But this is coming down uncontaminated, Amala. Amala Puran, Bhagavatam is the Amala Puran. The ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic literature. So it's being handed down as it is from through the parampara, and is finally through the mercy of Prabhupada previous acharyas, we now have the opportunity to actually cultivate faith. If we put our belief in the Bhagavatam, then all these pastimes, all these which may sound out of this world, they're actually true. Just like how there was a story where in the test of faith, Narad Muni came across a cobbler and a brahmana, where they said, oh, you're going to see Lord Narayan, please find out if this is going to be my last life on this planet, on this before I go back to Godhead. So Narad Muni then goes to Lord Vishnu and says, okay, I got these two devotees. One is a cobbler, the other one is a brahmana, who will come back to you at the end of this lifetime. Okay? The Lord says, the cobbler will come back to me first, this lifetime. Narad couldn't understand that. How is it? There's this brahmana who's doing service to you. He's a scholar. He's like doing deity worship and all that. He should be coming to you at this end of this lifetime. How come a cobbler is like holding all these various kinds of dirty shoes and all that? The Lord says, you go back and tell them that I am trying to needle an elephant through the eye of a needle, and based on the answer that you hear, you will know why I gave you this answer. And you will know why the cobbler is coming back to me at the end of his life. So Narad then goes to and tells the brahmana. Brahmana says, what? The Lord is trying to put an elephant through a tiny hole? This is ridiculous nonsense. I don't believe it. Then the cobbler though, he says, wow, the Lord is so wonderful. He can put a huge banyan tree into a tiny seed. So what is needling an elephant through the eye of a needle? That's faith. It's not about having positions, about being, calling ourselves brahmana or kshatriya or whatever. It's about faith. So, then, but we need faith to actually cultivate modes of goodness. Because as the purport here says, we need to develop modes of goodness to actually get the protection of the Lord and have the greatest chance of being liberated by following the Vaishnava principles. And we know to cultivate faith that we actually got to rely on the previous acharyas and what they have been passing down to us in disciplic succession. But faith here also means that we got to modes of goodness means to actually initiate change. As we know, the world is rapidly declining, deteriorating, and we need shelter. To actually enter into modes of goodness, we, as I said, we need to cultivate our faith, and as we journey through faith, we then begin to change. This change process is through this Hare Krishna philosophy and the process and system that Prabhupada has set for us. But this change has to first come from the heart, from the individual. Every day when we look in the mirror, the image that we see, we got to start there first. We got to start with that individual person to change. If there is going to be any social reform, if society is to change to become God conscious, instead of just going degrading even further from where it is today, if there has to be any change in society, it first needs to change with one soul, with the person that we see in the mirror. Because when there is a change in heart to take up Krishna consciousness, then when this change in that one individual becomes more and more individuals, then when individuals connect, there is a community of people in the modes of goodness. It means that Prabhupada has given us this insulation where we have got these beautiful temples, beautiful deities, we are undertaking the process of Krishna consciousness, and we come and participate in the system, and we are undertaking this process of change, then we come in contact with association. And when this association takes place, a community forms. Like Melbourne, now we've got a beautiful community. When this community becomes bigger of like-minded people who are in the mode of goodness, who are God-conscious, then this community enjoins other similar communities to become a society. And that's taking shape, as we can see in Mayapur today. There's this huge temple coming up. Hundreds and thousands of people are actually already there in Mayapur. And that community is so large. And that one day will become a society, a city. And who knows, one day it will become a suburb, then maybe a country. Who knows? Prabhupada actually had this vision. He wanted Mayapur to become a country. So reform, society reform starts with one individual. And God has been so merciful, Lord Krishna has been so merciful, that he has not just come in the form of this literary incarnation to give us Bhagavatam. In this present age, he has come as the golden avatar. And on top of that, he has given us a bonus of giving us the holy name. Because the holy name is not an incarnation. It is non-different from Krishna. How merciful is the Lord to us? How fortunate. It is only by the causeless mercy of God, of Lord Krishna, that we, amongst all this unwanted degradation that is going around us, he has actually presented himself in his pure form, the holy name. No other times, I don't think, even the golden age and all that, that he has come in this merciful form. And he has come in so many forms, so many incarnations, incarnated as a literary incarnation for this present time. He's come as golden avatar. And he's come, he's given the Nama Sankirtan. So, we have got a big responsibility. As much as we start with looking in the mirror and saying, okay, I need to change because I need to surrender to God, I need to go back to Godhead. But it is not about a selfish philosophy. Krishna consciousness is a philosophy of sharing. Prabhupada, due to compassion for the conditioned souls, he shared his knowledge. He gave Krishna consciousness to the masses, to all the conditioned living souls, no qualification, no segregation, to everyone. Similarly, we, having had the mercy of coming to this movement through the mercy of our gurus and Prabhupada and the previous acharyas, we in turn have a responsibility of sharing this philosophy and this wonderful journey back to Godhead with the other conditioned souls. How do we do it? Of course, here Prabhupada says, follow all the Vaishnava principles. Okay, cultivate mode of goodness. Be under the protection of Lord Vishnu. But consciously, it's like, as this verse says here, Prajapatis, they are the generators of progeny. Their duty was to actually populate the world with appropriate living entities who can bring about God consciousness. Similarly, we have that responsibility too. We can see ourselves as minute prajapatis. We enter Grihastha ashram and we are children. Those who have children, they have got this heavy responsibility to actually ensure that their children come up or are growing up in the mode of goodness to become Krishna conscious. Those who are married who do not have children yet, then their aim, if they are planning to have children, should be to actually have children who would be in the mode of goodness and who would be Krishna conscious. As parents and as future parents, that would be the duty. Brahmacharis, you shouldn't listen to this. But brahmacharis have got a different role. Their dharma is to actually preach the message. To share Krishna consciousness to the world at large. There are many out there who haven't heard this yet, who haven't received it yet. The yagya for this age is Sankirtan Yagya. So brahmacharis have that responsibility of giving the holy name to the masses. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, this is coming from Adi Leela 7.74, it states, in this age of Kali, there is no religious principle other than the chanting of the holy name, which is the essence of all Vedic hymns. This is the purport of all scriptures. Full stop. That's it, to give the holy name. So, I've said this before, we are foot soldiers in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan army. In this present age, we got to take up that battle. We got to fight Maya. Because as this purport says, irreligion is setting in. Even if we don't do it for the masses, if you want to take a selfish perspective, which is not correct, which is really to be shared, even if you want to take a selfish perspective, do it for yourself. We've got to change at least for oneself. At least liberate your own self if you can't liberate others. All right? Almost time. Any questions, comments? So, finishing off, we'll read the translation again. At the beginning of creation, there are penance, myself, Brahma, we have covered that. Okay, now we have, with that little elaboration, I suppose you would have a better understanding as to how this now fits in, penance and Brahma. And the Prajapatis, the great sages who generate, we can also now have a better understanding of that line with the duty that we now have. We are not the great sages, but at least as mundane grihasthas who are practicing Krishna consciousness, we've got a duty to populate the earth with progeny who are Krishna conscious. Then during the maintenance of creation, there are Lord Vishnu, the demigods with controlling powers, and the kings of different planets. And here we have already talked about the present incarnation. We can still practice devotional service with the present incarnation that we got. But at the end there is irreligion, and then Lord Shiva and the atheist full of anger, etc. We have talked about that. It's only heading that way. It's for certain given. Lord Kalki is going to come. It's already written in the scriptures. Material desires getting unfulfilled. Frustration is going to come. Anger is going to come. Given. And we already see it. We read in the media. We don't want to be in that situation. We can be protected through practicing Krishna consciousness. And then all of them here, the translation finishes, all of them are different representative manifestations of the energy of the Supreme Power, the Lord. Lord Vishnu is in the mode of goodness, Lord Brahma in the mode of passion, Lord Shiva in the mode of ignorance. Hare Krishna. Questions? Comments?
Just one question. Anyone can answer that? Mataji? Where is Shiva's role? Shiva is also the lord of destruction. Kalki comes for the whole creation or just for this world? Lord Shiva comes at the very end. Yeah. When there is cosmic dissolution, everything goes back into the causal ocean and they all go back into Mahavishnu.
So when it will happen after Shakti?
Yeah, go. Lord Brahma's, at the end of Lord Brahma's day, he comes. Yeah, you got to wait for a long time.
So this is 20-year Kali Yuga, and so this Kali Yuga, Lord Shiva has come. And in every, at the end of Kali Yuga, there is different ways how different thing happens, and this Kali Yuga is especially like no end. As I have some senior devotees.
Re-establish. There are four yugas. Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwarpa Yuga, and Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is 432,000 years. Dwapara Yuga is 864. Correct? And then Treta Yuga is at another 432. Okay. And then Satya Yuga is at another 432,000 years to that. So all the four cycles make up one Divya Yuga. 71 Divya Yugas make up one Manvantara. 14 Manvantaras equal to one day of Brahma, one life of Brahma, correct? At the end of, so Kalki comes, different Kalkis come at the end of Kali Yuga. But the cycle goes on. At the end of the life of Brahma, when there is cosmic dissolution, Lord Shiva takes over. Any other comments? Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.